Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. So I'm going to talk in a way here that just meets the practice or the experience of people who have, how do I say this, who've already done a lot of work. Probably it's going to appeal to you. And maybe some people who have just started the healing process or awakening process may or may not. This may or may not lead to a practice. It may, but I've seen that people who are already out there, it's like been there, done that. You know, that you're going to get this, a lot of you, I think. Maybe all of you, but here, I want to talk really directly to the people who have just been there, done that. If you want, just imagine for a second that there's horizontal versus vertical. And there is. It's like, thinking is horizontal. This is just my concept. Go with it. It's in your experience. You have a thought or thoughts, and then those leave. And then other ones come, and then those leave. And feelings come, and then those leave. And just something, just things going by or through, one after the other, in this sort of horizontal plane of arisings. Not a plane, but horizontal, you know, line of arisings. And that's our consciousness until we are more awake to what we are and certainly embodied, which I'll get to. This is everybody's waking consciousness. And one way to talk about it when it comes to suffering is rumination. Rumination, there's a lot of studies on this connected to buried emotions. Rumination is like when we sit here and think about our experience or even our emotional experience. And there's some studies that say that can amp up the anxiety and the suffering to ruminate, to think about it. So there are people who start to understand that they're suffering and then they think about it a lot and they ruminate about it. Like you'll see it in 12-step programs. Thankfully, the community and the 12-step work will help, but there's a lot of like ruminating on one's experience, but not being able to necessarily break through it. So with rumination, there's always this kind of block around in life, and the ruminating comes up, and it feels like the ruminating is there to explain the block, but the ruminating is the block. It's coming from the repression, or it's coming from the block, you could say, from the buried emotions. So you have to be careful when you're ruminating to get to the root if you want to really be free. And the root, to get to the root, is vertical. It's somatic work right down into the body, right where the core fear is, and that's buried. And that's the root of all the ruminating. This is tricky because many of us go through a path where you could say, if you could visualize this, we start out ruminating and thinking. We're become self-aware enough to know that we're suffering and that we might be able to do something about it, or that we're just more aware of it. And that's what leads us to a healing or awakening path, is the awareness of it. And then when we become aware of it, we might learn, for example, awareness techniques, mindfulness, meditation. And that helps with the ruminating, because now we can just allow it, the thoughts, instead of like believing each one or the feelings. And so that's why mindfulness through the years has studies on it that show at least, you know, relieving of like depression, anxiety, and other things. And of course, overall well-being too. But we have to be really direct here, because mindfulness, you can only be mindful of what's horizontal. Most mindfulness and awareness practices do not go vertical, right to the root of suffering that's buried. So they remain unaware of it as it's buried in the body. And it just feels like a sensation that you can just allow, like all the other arisings. But in that sensation, what we call body, or somewhere in the body hidden, is this really strong conditioning that we're not aware of. Mind-body conditioning, core fear, holding back emotion, holding back what felt true when we didn't get our needs met as children, and then we've been identifying with what's false our whole lives. And there's the ruminating, you could say. It's like we can't feel and express what's true, so we can't really be present here. And just being, and being ourselves here, whatever that is. And so because we bring the ruminating about our experience into the spiritual or healing path, of course, we're still in that kind of state of consciousness when we're first doing mindfulness. We're kind of having to cope with that level of consciousness, the ruminating thoughts, the feelings that are not only suffering, but they're ruminating about the suffering and how to get rid of it and how you can't get rid of it is often what it's about. But the teachers and the methods will show you or instruct you to just be and allow. And that's regulating to the system. There's a benefit. Sometimes it's the first chance you get of just seeing that a thought is just a thought coming and going. A feeling is just a feeling coming and going horizontally. Like waves, imagine waves on an ocean horizontally across the surface. They come up, they go away. They come up, they go away. But as you see each one of them, they create this horizontal consciousness that's always producing something, more waves, more suffering, and then ruminating and thinking about it. But see, to me, the suffering itself is rumination. Like the stories, the identities, the belief systems, the worldviews, the spiritual practices, the spiritual methods, the spiritual teachings, the therapies, all of that is still humans doing the best they can to ruminate at the level of consciousness that they're at, until they're more embodied. And then the conversation is not so much about using words to avoid and stay safe from buried emotions, but using words to express authentically. And then there's a conservation of energy, that suffering energy isn't there. We have all of our emotions online, so we have abundance. Then it's a different experience when we go vertical, embodiment. But everything in our life and in our practice and in our spiritual path or healing path, if you look, is kind of trying to contend with this horizontal, these waves appearing and disappearing within and as the ocean. And then we also know that there's this ocean, which we'll just say is our presence. And that, as you witness the arisings horizontally, there can be a stabilizing and recognizing more and more that what you are is the ocean, and that the waves are just these appearances that come and go horizontally. But then the question becomes, but why do the appearances come and go horizontally like that? Why do they come and go like that one after the other? And then why so many of them? Why doesn't it end for many people? Or if they get involved in a mindfulness or some sort of therapy or something, they get some level of peace, but it doesn't stop the suffering. I'm not talking about the arising of phenomena, because people who are really free might have a lot to say and express, and it's not suffering. But on the horizontal, in that level of consciousness, all the arisings are suffering. If you notice, when you first come to a path, you're witnessing your suffering from awareness, if it's an awareness-based path. So you sit there and you get insight from it, because you see, well, this wave says I'm not good enough and it has a feeling with it, but when I just let that be, I'm just the ocean, or another wave comes, and then I'm not that either, and I'm still just the ocean. But then another one comes, and it's similar to the first one, which I already fucking looked at, but it's here again, and now I'm mad because I'm ruminating. I'm frustrated on the path, and now I'm witnessing my resistance of why this is still coming up, but I don't know why, because I haven't gotten vertical. I don't see the root of suffering, so I'm just watching the waves. And see, when you get some relief from that, like, oh, I'm the ocean. Feel that? And like no waves. My mind is quiet. But the body keeps the score. So there'll be more. And because there's an evolutionary impulse or imperative to suffer, if we don't process buried emotions, those buried emotions are still there just kind of waiting. And you know what the buried emotions conditioning love more than anything else? Safety at the surface. If we can get safety at the surface, including through watching these waves, so that we don't have to feel the buried anger, or watching these waves, so I don't have to see that these waves come from the buried hurt, then I'm going to keep doing that. And that's how we get trapped into an avoidant spiritual path. What was once beneficial becomes superficial, becomes what was once going to lead to the end of suffering, becomes how we keep avoiding the root of suffering. And some teachers will express it like Eckhart does. You know, I'm sure he does get tired at times from hearing his own teaching reflected back to him, because it's limited. He says, allow it all, watch it. And then someone did say to him, like, well, but so I just watch this. So I just let this feeling that I'm nothing or whatever be here. He says, yes, but at some point you should become interested in the end of suffering. I thought to myself, how in horizontal will that happen? So a lot of people who are anger repressors go to Eckhart. They don't realize that he was probably a hurt and sadness repressor who used to get angry. Those were his waves at the surface. So he just sat as awareness and watched his angry and other visible effects of trauma. And then here we come after he wakes up. He didn't have any, I don't think, anger repression, hearing his story. But then a lot of us are anger repressors, and we're doing the same, watching and allowing of the waves. He's telling us that we're the ocean, but we've got rage underneath that's producing all the waves. And some of us have hurt and sadness repression, and even if he had that, he doesn't talk about that. So there'll be some people just watching a bunch of angry waves, and they're like, Eckhart's got it right, because the ego's angry. And so his teaching resonates with me. Maybe. But then the anger repressors, they keep suffering. Really, most people do, actually. Anybody with repression, because that's never going to arise as a wave. That's locked in by evolution and intergenerational trauma until we do something about that. And that's the process of going vertical. And so, but how do you go from ruminating as an ego consciousness, just thinking I'm a story, and here's one thought, feeling after the other, and I believe them all, to, okay, I'm the ocean, and these are coming and going within me or as me, to, no, just go live and be free. That's where we have to go. It's just like we give it all up, and now we're free. And we don't have to refer back to the ocean except to teach, and we don't get stuck in that, and that's not true, and all that shit, because you can't point to live in embodying the truth. As good as Eckhart is as pointing to presence, that's not it. Because you have to live and embody that. And how do you do that with buried emotions? So we have to give up the pointing, throw away the ocean and the waves, unless we can just sit with it differently. And that's what KI has done, is say, no, let's throw all that away and let's look at this. Let's look at the science that says it's creating our suffering, repression is, and our rumination, and our avoidance, our self-sabotage, and all of it, the unprocessed emotion. Well, if that's the case, then you wouldn't necessarily start out a spiritual or healing path, just another way of ruminating. Even if it makes you feel better or gives you a half-baked realization, you're still going to have suffering. And although it might feel temporarily safer to watch some waves come up and go, because of the pleasure-pain cycle, the buried emotions will produce more falseness in your life. You have to identify with what's false to survive. And even though you might have some intention to wake up, the repression doesn't. It's all about staying safe and getting love. And that's what's going to happen until you process vertically the mechanism that's producing things at the surface, the waves. So at some point, when there's a bunch of rumination, people come here and they're like, I've got 10 methods. I'm like, there's a lot of rumination. Whew. I know that feeling. Where do we go? Because where are you going vertical? Or people come to me and they'll say, I'm really busy, but I want to do this jumpstart with you. And I'm like, but why? Because, I mean, I want you to, but if you bring that diversified consciousness here that says, I just got so many things going on, in which case you're not going vertical in any of those relationships, getting real, you know, processing the buried emotions that create the suffering at work, And then you're going to try to put KI on par with all of that and somehow make a little bit of room for going vertical. You see, it's a big issue. So it's bigger than just a spiritual process. It has to do with our consciousness and how we do healing. It's like, how much do we prioritize how we're creating suffering instead of just managing it through observing waves, allowing waves that are all there for a reason. The rumination contains such deep wisdom that's never talked about. So for example, I'm not good enough. We can sit there and let that wave be there and get the insight that, okay, that's not me, but it's going to come back because the reason that's there is it serves a purpose. It's just to keep us safe from what's buried, to keep us surviving as a false self and to get us love and approval. That's going to come back. Even if it doesn't come back as a story, it's going to be a fight response or a freeze response because this is trauma. It's not a story that keeps coming. This is survival. So we have to take it really seriously if we want to free ourselves. There's tremendous freedom, like unbelievable, unspeakable freedom, but not when you just, you rest as awareness and just see all your suffering. I mean, it's a beginning, but it can even be overwhelming. I mean, I got chronic nerve pain. You're lucky if you don't get a serious disease out of not getting to repression. And then if you do, like managing that in awareness is challenging because you don't see where it's coming from. You've not been trained to. And so there's the chronic pain. And I'm like, can I just allow this wave? No, I can't allow this wave. It's holding everything that I ignored by allowing everything. It's now holding that anger, which I couldn't ever allow. I can't just allow this because I want to die. At some point when you avoid, it's like the stakes get higher. I hope it never happens to you, but it's happened to us, some of us teachers. I don't even mention us by name, but you see our dark night because of this. And you don't have to live this. But we as teachers have to get clearer because we're not responsible for your suffering. But once we start telling you what to look at, I've almost left teaching because of telling people what to look at, because the only thing that makes sense to me is get behind how you create suffering. See it. Because anything else, you'll trauma bond with me. You'll bring your mom and dad stuff here. And if I'm not clear, I'll trauma bond with you in different ways. And we just will not get to the root of it. I won't trauma bond with you. But you might want to. If you have buried emotions, most likely you will. You will trauma bond even by avoiding me, because people will pick up this work and then avoid a mentor, or they'll attach to one through their attachment styles, not understanding that those waves are also rooted in buried emotions and will sabotage this work, or could. We're building a bigger, more loving, softer, but more direct container for KI. In other words, we're going to open up first and second dimension here. We already have. So, you know, we talk about repression inquiry, but we know that people are just in different places. So we know that, like, some people are just coming and they just have a lot of ruminating. They're just, I need to know where to, I don't know where to go. I want to try this, I guess. It's ruminating. Let me go to this video. I just feel maybe I should do something. Maybe I should go back to the doctor. Well, maybe this is repression. Maybe I should go listen to Scott. But I don't really agree with that. Let me go listen to Rupert. That's good. But I'm not really, so I still have suffering. God, what is it? That's ruminating, you could say. Where we become aware that there's a problem, but we don't know. Are we creating it? Or is it just there? And how do we get to the root of it? And then those people will graduate into a class of people on an awakening path who begin seeing and witnessing instead of thinking so much and just now allowing it all. That's a place where we hide because it's still ruminating. We're still watching things come and go. There's an evolutionary imperative for those things to be there for survival. And we're just safe. And that's the hiding. It's like, well, doesn't matter how scary it gets, I'm undisturbed awareness. As if the ocean could be separate from the waves. And that's still hiding. And so when we see that, no, this wave is there because I get something out of it. I'm getting your love and approval by believing this. Yeah. You know, when I come on here as a teacher and I say I have the greatest enlightenment, that's to get your love and approval. That's what I mean. That's like that kind of transparency. Or like, you know, when I just shut down a second ago, I was raging underneath. I was fucking cursing you out like I never could my dad. And I was just being quiet so I could get your love. Yeah, but now I can go deeper and I can love you, you know. But how do we ever get to that place if we just treat this like waves coming and going? When we have repression, creating those waves for safety and love, all that suffering. And we're benefiting from it. And then a lot of us are saying we want to be free, but we're benefiting from the suffering. And it's just not earnest enough to end it. I wasn't either. So we're opening it up so that you build earnestness. You build capacity and skill and understanding about how to get to this. And if it takes a while, it takes a while. That's just how life goes. You may have to do a lot of ruminating before you hear this. You may have to like come here even and be just allowing things and learning to regulate your system and just be with what is, at least the waves, before you can eventually get to what we call third dimension, where you go vertical to where the unmet needs and the repressed emotions that never arise produce everything at the surface. I hope that helps. And then that's the end of rumination, because the ruminating is there to keep us safe from feeling and expressing what's true. Authenticity is the answer. We can't really have that without awareness, because we have to be able to process the buried emotions in presence, as Bessel van der Kolk says. What else would hold that is what I say. Only awareness can hold those parts of ourselves that are creating all those waves. And then only awareness would give us the insight as to why we're creating all that suffering. We have to have that recognition to see, oh, to be aware that, oh, I do this to get love. Seeing that come from the unconscious. Oh, I do this not because it's true, because I'm staying safe. I go on the internet and I do this. But what I'm saying isn't really what I mean. It means I need love. Or that kind of thing. You become so conscious of it that you just can't suffer, because you're feeling and expressing everything. And it becomes suffering not to, you could say, but not really the old kind of suffering. It just gnaws at you until you open to whatever that is. And then the suffering can't happen. You're just too conscious at a certain point, because you didn't just ruminate about your suffering. You didn't just witness from awareness, which is kind of another ruminating. You ended the ruminating because it was there for a reason. All that spiritual talk is there for a reason until we're embodied. All the witnessing is keeping us safe until we're embodied. The true freedom, if you will define it yourself, I'll define it for myself, is just cannot be expressed. We can share our personal stories, I think, and you can tell me what it's like to live and embody your freedom, and I'll be like, okay, that makes sense. And then I'll share mine, and then that's it, because nobody can teach anybody in the truth. Ultimately, we can only feel and express what's true. So a lot of my job is just to wait for people to get over the idea that I'm a teacher, so that maybe with some of you I'll have a real genuine connection with, because I don't think that unless we talk about living and embodying freedom, it's not really a genuine connection. That's how I see it. And so most of the teaching I'm going to be doing will be in third dimension. And I'm going to help train, promote, endorse teachers going forward that I like and I partner with. I'm already partnering with them, because I feel like that what KI gave me, speaking of personal experience, is connection to my body and others. And that's what I want to do. And you're going to do what you want to do too when you find your freedom. Well, this was a fun podcast. This was inspired. What was it inspired by? Oh, I just wrote, Satoshi and I are writing a book called Awake But Sick. And the inspiration came because We could AI, if you see some of my blogs out there, AI doesn't have its citations down completely. And you can't always check them because they're behind a paid wall or something, or that's, and so when we wrote our book, there were like a couple of citations where AI was just putting in information. We're like, you can't do that. So we had to go back and check them all. And we had to find a couple of studies that I didn't see that were out there. And one was about rumination. And it's in the book. You'll see it. Or it's referenced. I don't know if we mentioned rumination in the text of the book, but it's the reason that we brought it in, that study, or those. There was more than one, I think. But anyway, it just says avoidance, rumination, suppression, all of that's connected, sabotage. But it's the focus on rumination. They were studying people who were in that sort of ego consciousness, just, you know, ruminating. But then I thought, well, but where do we go? Because that's rumination. And if they come to spirituality, they're going to keep doing it. But it's going to be a different version of it. And it'll give them some relief. But how will those people end that suffering? And that's what inspired me to come and take the studies and try to bring it to life into a practice. Instead of just studying it and saying, oh, damn, we're fucked. All right, thank you for listening. There's a link in the description that will lead you to my Jumpstart group. Please join up if you've been interested. It's a really good group with a lot of good energy. People are in different places. I mentor a group of people for 1 month. I start at the beginning of each month. So March 1st, we already have like a few signups, frankly, and I'm going to cap it at like 12. So if you want to sign up, the Jumpstart is becoming more and more popular. So March 1st, if you take the link, you'll see information just to sign up for that. But I still prefer one-on-one. And frankly, some of the most beautiful, the richest connections I have inside work, not outside, are with people who are doing the intensive with me. God, it's been a really beautiful experience. Real quick, let me share this. And yes, this promotes it. And I want to, because I want more of these connections, because these will lead to people sometimes going into training and being KI mentors. So I want to attract people to the intensive for my self-interest and yours. Yours is to help with your suffering. Mine is to have good mentors and to help people in a way that works. And the intensive does work well if you're full on and ready with me. What that means is 90 days where we're pretty connected. You have a lot of access to me with some boundaries, of course. But it's the amount of time that you spend with me and the other things that I bring into it. I just don't have the time to bring into some of the other programs. Like changing your habits by getting to the root of suffering. That's like we get to know each other in that. And it's hopefully a confidential, safe space so we can get to that. But there's also just forget habits because, I mean, we're suffering and there's a habit of suffering. That's the main habit that we deal with there. But as the suffering starts to go away, then you start to see all these habits that protected you from actually living authentically. Whether it's working out, cleaning, talking to people, doing this or that, not putting up a website. And then we start working with, like, especially in the third month, how your system not only has been creating suffering to block you and keep you in the ruminating, not going vertical in the body, but to me, the biggest tragedy in a way of the whole suffering conversation is that most people are, of course, trying to end the suffering. And when it starts to go away, or it mostly goes away here, people are surprised that there's some other things to look at that they didn't even know were there. Patterns that were always keeping them safe under the suffering. So the ruminating keeps us safe from seeing how we really block ourselves. That's not good news, because a lot of people are just witnessing stuff coming and going in awareness. That's how you block yourself. Well, say it this way, the buried emotions are driving everything and they don't arise to awareness. So all the time that you have to spend in that level of consciousness where stuff arises without getting to the root, I'll say is a perpetuation of the suffering in some way. Thanks for listening.